Blessed morning to you guys.
Blessed morning back at you, dog.
Captain Haw.
If you possibly are a GM that thinks you're a quarterback away and you're trading for Jay Cutler, you're sick.
Look, I understand that almost never happens in the NFL, but this is one of those rare situations,
Adam,
where a team could be willing to get rid of a quarterback like that
it's
midseason.
It's like when I had to go get a colonoscopy 2 weeks ago.
Whoa.
I didn't want to drink that nasty stuff.
Good Lord.
And purge myself. But guess what? After I got done, it felt so good to be done.
What a visual.
I don't know.
That's what that's
what
like.
That has to do with anything, but
that'd be the same thing like getting
I'm glad
rid
you're
of
feeling
Jay
good.
Cutler.
Yahtzee!
It feels so good. Yeah.
You just compared
he's gone.
Jay Cutler to the feeling of relieving yourself in a colonoscopy.
Pretty close.
That's what you just did.
Pretty good.
Bingo!
Gone.
That may be your best moment in radio TV time.
Gone.
Cutty
Get
colonoscopy.
At least top five.
Haw's sitting at home right now going, thank God I'm off today.
Woo, that felt good.
From the seventh floor of the Tribune Towers.
Boy, this has been tremendously tremendous.
Downtown Chicago.
Chicago! Kolchak stole it, scores! Beauty!
Come on, sucker.
He is moving like a tremendous machine.
Let's get it on.
It's the Cap and Haw Show.
Everyone has to do their job.
We're going to ball until we fall.
That's a shot and a beer.
Do your job.
That's the Hazleton way.
Let's begin now.
Yes!
Hey, the whole team's back together for a day.
Alrighty.
Welcome back.
How about that?
Cap and Haw on the air, Comcast Sports at WGNplus.com. I'm David Kaplan. He's David Haw, lead columnist of the Tribune. She is Brooke Weisbrod with a day off during the middle of March Madness. Mike Jacobson, our executive producer. Matt Rooney, our associate producer. Pat Castell is our great director. And welcome in here to our studios at Tribune Tower. Morning. What's
Morning,
going
Cap.
On?
How are you?
Guys, good?
Doing well.
Great.
Did you have a nice evening last night at the Comcast dinner?
Yeah, the Comcast Sportsnet Sports Awards were awesome. Had a chance to sit at the same table with Kyle Long, who, let me tell you, I'm a fan. What a nice, nice young man. He was engaging to talk to. He was really paying attention to the awards. He donated $5,000 to the March of Dimes.
He gets it.
He gets it.
He epitomizes everything the Bears want their players to be and everything that the organization wants to project. He is one of those guys that core player, great representative, and he's got just enough nasty in him to be the kind of guy you need to win in the NFL.
We had him on Sports Talk Live yesterday, and I asked him, would you like to move to tackle? Because mm-hmm. that's where people
that's
project.
That's a topic du jour.
And he said, no, I'm happy where I'm at. I like the position I play. And I've made two Pro Bowls, and I want to stay right here.
I can't blame him. I think there's a lot of different schools of thought there, building from the inside out necessarily. But the big money, you make more probably as a tackle, but that's maybe even changed through the last couple of years. I don't think you want to do anything to weaken his ability to be dominant right now. Keep a strength of strength.
Agreed. So – it was a good group of athletes that they honored. You had Brian Bickle, who did a real funny bit on tape.
He's a funny guy.
With Pat Boyle.
Picklehead. Picklehead's got a good sense of humor.
They were drinking hot chocolate with the whipped cream on it. It was a really funny, well-done bit. Eric Ferguson and Pat MC did a great job. You had Bickle. You had Mike Dunleavy. You had Paulie Konerko. The tribute to Ernie and Minnie and Harry Ship with a P from the Chicago Fire.
That's cool. You mentioned hockey. We're going to talk to Stan Bowman.
9:15.
Looking forward to that.
Last week I came out and said Stan's in my crosshairs.
He
He's got to get something done.
He did.
Boy, he stepped up.
He
big
stepped
time.
Up in a big way. He's had a very interesting 10 days or so because there was a lot of chatter before the trade deadline. Then Patrick Kane goes down. And they make the best of a bad situation. Mm-hmm. They really – manipulate is probably the word that carries a negative vibe. I don't want to say manipulated the system, but they certainly used the system to their advantage. And I want to ask him about that very system that allowed them to have their best player injured, place him on long-term injured reserve, and then, hey, look at all that space. Look at
and
that
then get him
room.
Back.
And then they're going to come back. How many teams are looking at this and saying, I sense an upper body injury next year about February 25th for one of our highly paid underachieving players? Not that Patrick Kane was. He's your best guy. But can you see how teams would look at this and say,
you got a tweaked hamstring. We're going to go long-term injury reserve.
You're going on injury reserve. We're going to use your cap room to make a trade for a guy we need. And when you come back, okay. But this defenseman, upper body injury, we don't have to explain it. And we're going to use his cap space to pay this other guy. And we're going to do a little
– shell game.
Yeah, it's a shell game.
All right, Stan Moman, 9:15. Eric Edholm, NFL writer for Yahoo Sports and analyst at 120 Sports.
A lot of stuff going on.
Used to be in Pro Football Weekly for years for Hub Arkish. He will be with us at Eric_Edholm. Trey Demps, Northwestern star guard, who had a huge game the other night. The big win over Michigan.
The most appropriately named player in college basketball this week.
Yeah.
They don't name him Deuce.
No, Deuce Demps.
It's
no,
Trey.
It was Trey.
It's Trey.
And Bryce Drew, the Valpo head basketball coaches.
Because
they are
March,
the top seed
right?
in the Horizon. I'll be calling their the Horizon Tournament on
They're
Friday.
They're the top seed, but let me tell you, Kiefer Sykes is coming to dinner. He's going for it.
Kiefer Sykes is good.
Don't sleep on Green Bay.
Kiefer needs seconds.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So
he's
that's
good.
Going to
he's
be.
The man.
That's always a good tournament, Cap. I mean, mid-majors, this is the time of year where you start to pay attention to these things. And Bryce Drew, when the calendar hits March, his name resonates a little bit louder.
And UIC came from 19 down at the half to come back and win. Over
that's,
Wright State.
That,
so good for them.
March Madness has begun.
All right, 312-235-2525. A lot to talk about. Yeah. Stan Moman again in 10 minutes. Did you read the Michael Wright article?
Yes, I did.
What'd you think of that?
Yeah, I thought that you're talking in relation to Jay Cutler.
There were 10 coaches.
I don't know
two
if you saw
current
10.
Teammates.
At least.
He said at least 10.
At least 10, Cap. Not trying too hard here, but at least 10 coaches.
Correct, that's what he said.
Had issues with Jay Cutler. I think that's probably a little bit low. If I were going over and under, I'd probably start with 10. I'd take the over. I don't really think that I learned much of what I didn't know. I think that he did a nice job of talking to a lot of people and exhausting a lot of resources. The fact that Jay Cutler has enemies isn't exactly breaking news in Chicago. The fact that he has teammates. The one thing I would like to know is those teammates that were anonymously quoted. Are they teammates
that said he's divisive?
Are they teammates that are offensive players coming back, which I question, or are they players who are out of contract and maybe leaving town who played defense,
it
which
said
I
current
suspect?
Bears.
Then I okay.
It was interesting.
It was interesting.
Kyle Long came on yesterday on Sports Talk Live from the.
You're not going to find an offensive lineman that's going to be. Anti-Jay Cutler.
Dinner, and Kyle is Team J.
He's the president of Team J.
Yeah. They went hunting together recently, and he just said, look, this guy is a good player, and we can win with him. I mean, he said all the right things.
That's going to play out, Cap. I think we're going to know sooner rather than later. Brian Hartline visited yesterday. I think that's a little more intriguing because that's new. The fact that they're looking at a wide receiver, I don't think it's as a replacement to Brandon Marshall. I could see a scenario where they're looking at him as a third receiver. He would be a good third receiver in an offense that's very dangerous. So I don't know that that's necessarily an indicator that Brandon Marshall's on his way out. But certainly Brian Hartline is a professional NFL guy, and he's going to decide in the next 12 hours, we're told, whether or not the Bears or who else?
Browns.
The Browns.
And he went.
Maybe the Dolphins, too.
He grew
too,
up
still
in Akron.
Mix. He grew up in Akron?
Yeah.
Oh, so there's a lot of that going around in Cleveland sports, you know, the homecoming idea.
Right.
LeBron, Josh. What? Josh isn't from. Josh McCown's not from Ohio, is he?
And my boy Rex Ryan, a busy guy.
He's a busy guy. We need to talk about that. We need to talk about that trade because he fleeced Chip Kelly. Chip Kelly, what are you thinking? What are you doing? What are you doing, Chip Kelly?
Yeah, Jeff Dickerson was on with me yesterday, and he said, I know you love Rex. He goes, wow, did he improve his team quickly? He said, I'm not telling you Matt Castle's the be-all, end-all. But he said to get LeSean McCoy into his attack right now.
You have professionalized your backfield in a way that it wasn't in Buffalo. You also do respect the football player, Richie Incognito. Pretty good. I mean, you can live with that. I have issues that we've talked about bringing him into your locker room, into your huddle. But there's a lot going on to like in Buffalo if you're the Bills. Very quiet in contrast in Chicago with the Bears. Both new regimes, both new head coaches, and you don't see the type of activity that you're seeing in Buffalo. Not that that's bad, because sometimes you don't want to confuse accomplishment with activity. I think the great Jerry Angelo once opined that. Dave, don't confuse activity with accomplishment. You still, your ceiling and your floor is really what you want to focus on. Anyway, we want to get to the Cubs thing too, Cap. We have to get to the Wrigley Field, the cell. We're going to figure out exactly how Cubs fans feel. I've heard from a lot of them today because I wrote about the fact that with all this construction stuff going on at Wrigley, they spent a day in Milwaukee vetting the whole idea of playing at Miller Park. And apparently the facility 8.1 miles south wasn't something they ever considered.
Correct.
And you say that with authority because you know that, and I know that. The question is why? It just seems like it's right there. Common sense. I understand the reasons.
No. It's perfect sense.
I understand what reasons they cited. I don't understand the reasons.
Well, people down at the south side told me that sponsorship issues would make it next to impossible.
I respect that reason cited. I also then I wonder, boy, Budweiser, the king of beers, sponsors the Cubs. They're going to go to Miller Park?
Right.
Okay, there's no conflict there. If they were willing and able to try to address how to get past that in Milwaukee, how couldn't they get past that in their own city? They are still the Chicago Cubs, not the Southern Wisconsin Cubs.
Agreed. Interesting stuff. All right, and by the way, Raiders offering Randall Cobb $11 million a year, but reports are Sue and Cobb could both be headed to Jacksonville. We'll talk about
good
that.
Good luck with that. Randall Cobb, nice receiver cap. $11, $12 million a year guy? Really?
Price of doing business. Stan Bowman is next. We'll be right back.
The Cap and Haw Show on WGN Plus and Comcast Sportsnet.
I got in last night and couldn't really sleep because I was so excited. So nice to be here and, you know, feels good to be here.
Exciting, get to know some other guys, and we certainly have a good group here. Great players, great to be part of.
Desjardins. Yeah.
Okay.
Keep
not Desjardins or.
Oh, I like to keep it that way just because I don't speak French and I don't want to confuse people that are going to try to speak French to me. So I keep it as English pronunciation as possible.
There you go, Timonen, Vermette, Desjardins. There are your pronunciations, and there are your new Blackhawks.
Everybody loved the trade deadline moves except for Pat Foley.
Yeah, exactly. He's got to learn some new names. Hawks, big time at the trade deadline. A week ago on this show, I said to David, I said it on Sports Talk Live, I go, okay, Stan Bowman, you're in my crosshairs. I'm a season ticket holder. Patrick Kane goes down. You got to react. And guess what he did?
He did. He reacted.
He reacted in a big way. Time.
Yeah.
And Stan joins us now here on Cap and Haw. Stan, good morning. Boy, you had a hell of a trade deadline. Do you think it would have been anywhere close to that active if Kaner doesn't get hurt?
Oh, good morning, guys.
Morning, Stan.
You know, we obviously wouldn't have been acquiring as many players because we didn't have the the salary there. And once Kaner got hurt, we had the ability to bring in a little bit more financially for the cap. It's not the way that you want to get cap space by losing your best player, but you got to try to make the best of it, and we did that. So, you know, we were looking to add a player, but I think we were able to do a little bit more because we had the salary cap room to add.
Stan, congratulations on the moves, and I want to follow up on that because I don't know how recent this rule has been imposed or it gives you an ability to do what you just did, and that's take advantage of a bad situation or make the most out of it. Do you think the league's attention, this will get the league's attention to look at this because of the way teams potentially could manipulate it in the way of, you know, I don't know, I'm not suggesting necessarily they would invent injuries, but they might put a guy on long-term injured reserve they might be more reluctant to previously to take advantage of the cap room to bring players into the mix that they might not be able to do otherwise?
That's a great question, but that's something that's been addressed since day one from the NHL. I mean, Gary Bettman, obviously, they knew that this was a potential issue. So, you know, you have to have a doctor sign off that these players really are going to miss that amount of time. And it's a significant amount of time. So you have to have a doctor who's going to vouch for that. And, you know, the doctor's not going to put his medical reputation on the line just to try to get a team an advantage. So, you know, for us, this is not the way we want to get extra cap space by having our best player gone for, you know, several weeks. So you're right, there is that concern, but the NHL monitors those things very closely. And, you know, they know that the doctor has to step up and evaluate. And so it's something the league is very aware of, and that's why the rules are pretty strict.
Stan, when you moments after Patrick Kane goes down and you collect yourself and you're like, you got to be kidding me. Now you lose your leading scorer, your number one scorer in all the NHL. As you enter into trade talks, did the price astound you when you started making calls? Or no, it's pretty much what I expected. They knew I was coming. I got a sign on me that, hey, my best player went down. I got cap space. Or did the process completely stun you?
No, I don't think it really goes down the way maybe a lot of people expect or the way you're characterizing it. It's not like all of a sudden teams we have been talking to all these teams about making moves, and it wasn't like their opinion changed just because we had an injury. That's just not the way the system works, and you have to have a deal that works for both sides. So, you know, these teams have players that they were going to move, and the asking price is what it is, and it's sort of set by the marketplace. It's really got nothing to do with Patrick Kane, and I'm not sure where that perception comes from, but it's just not the case. It's a supply and demand. You know, there's not a lot of players of the caliber of Vermette and Thiemann, and as a result, the price is the same across the league. It's not like a higher price for Chicago because we had an injury. So I had discussions with all these teams prior to Kane getting hurt. You know, this was not really nothing changed for us. And so, you know, it's one of those things where there's a lot of back and forth. It took, you know, several weeks before you can actually close a deal. I had discussions about Vermette going back to the month of December. You know, we've liked him for a long time. We thought he would fit with our group and his skill set would be a nice addition. So it's really nothing new from that regard.
Talking with Blackhawks general manager Stan Bowman and Cap and Haw. So, Stan, when you look at your willingness to deal draft picks, high draft picks, first rounders, a second rounder for the players you get in return, it obviously announces the intention that, you know, you're going for it this season. You feel like you have the team to win the cup now. How has your view of the value of draft picks in deals and your willingness to trade draft picks for veterans like you just did changed over the years? Or is it a year-by-year evaluation based on the type of team that you have that season?
Yeah, our willingness hasn't changed at all. I mean, we still value draft picks to a very high degree, and we will continue to do so because I think that's really what has gotten us to this point. We've been able to draft and develop players, and we continue to do that going forward. That's going to be our mindset, you know, in the summer, is we're going to look to acquire draft picks and build through the draft. So that's something we're never going to sacrifice. But you do have to look at the situation you're in, and in this case, it made sense. And, you know, there's always ways to recoup draft picks going forward, and you know, we're going to look to do that, but that's not the focus at the current moment. You know, right now we believe in the group that we have here. They've accomplished a lot as a group, and we were looking to give them a boost and add a few pieces to give us a chance to do something special this year.
Thiemann's a guy that a lot of people around the league have loved for a long time. I believe he was, along with Pronger, the backbone of that Philly defense when you won your first cup in 2010. Now that he's 39, hasn't played, do you look that the last several months he's been out? You know what? Yes, he had to deal with a serious health problem. Now he's healthy, but that also allowed that older body a chance to be a lot fresher when the playoffs get here.
That's right. And I think the one thing I've looked at from the beginning, we had discussions about chemo going back about a month ago, was the fact that he wasn't recuperating from an injury. And I think there might have been more concern if he had been out 9 months with a knee injury. Like, how is he going to come back? You know, those injuries with the shoulder or a knee or a hip, they typically take a while, even once you're cleared to play, before you're back to yourself. You know, this is just, he's obviously had the blood disorder that they had to get that straightened out. But, you know, if anything, he is fresher, you know, and his body hasn't been worn down from, you know, a long season already. So there's some, you know, credence to that. And, you know, it's going to take him some time to get into mid-season form. Like, I thought he played well for his first game the other night, but you know, he said that, I know I'm going to get better as I get more repetitions of game action. And, you know, we've got some time for that. So those things all did play into it when we were, I mean, we understand there's a risk there. And anytime you're bringing an older player in, you know, there's always that risk. But, you know, we look at the reward. It's always the trade-off, the risk-reward. I think, you know, if things work out, he's a special talent. Like, he's so versatile. He can do a lot of things for you, and his experience is gonna bring us an element that we like.
And yet, Stan, I think a bigger deal was the Vermette trade because of what it does for your whole team throughout every line. And you move Brad Richards to the third line, and I think it allows Andrew Shaw to go back to the wing where he's, I think, been more effective and maybe won't struggle to the degree that he has this season. Also, I think that Teuvo Teravainen gets an opportunity to play on that third line. And you tell me, because I know it's a small sample size, but since he has come back, he looks like he maybe plays a little more confidence, play a little stronger on the puck, looks like a guy that gets it and wants to stay this time and contribute to this playoff run.
Yeah, it's a great observation, David. I think looking at the evolution of Teravainen, he just looks more confident and comfortable. And I think that was something that we had expected and we had hoped for, you know, when we want to give him a little bit of time to acclimate, not only to North America, but to the NHL. And yeah, I think you look back at those first couple games he played when there was some tentativeness and hesitation. And now he's just playing. He's playing on his instincts. He's doing what he does very well. And, you know, I expect him to be a factor for us going forward. So, you're right. Looking at Vermette, he gives us a lot of options. He gives us the opportunity to do the things you mentioned, which is move some guys into other roles and other spots in the lineup where they can maybe be even more effective. So that versatility was critical for us in acquiring him.
Stan, before we let you go, if you go back 7, 8, 9 years ago, nobody paid attention in this town other than the core group to the trade deadline. They weren't talking about Stan Bowman. Boy, he's got to make a move. And then you got goofs like me on TV and radio going, all right, Stan, you're on the clock, man. I'm a season ticket holder. I want some moves made. Do you enjoy the increased scrutiny from the Penn and Mike Club, the fan base, who are, man, that Bowman's got to make a move here? Or do you wish, not the fan part of it, that the pressure stuff wasn't what it is now, what it was 7, 8 years ago?
No, I mean, absolutely. You want to be relevant, and you want to be you want people to care about your team. I mean, there's no doubt that there's more excitement now, and there's more people paying attention. But I think that's great. I mean, everyone's got an opinion, and that's part of the excitement of it, is you want people to care about the team. And, you know, we're passionate about what we do, and we want our fans to be as well. And I think it's great to have them engaged and to care about it. And, you know, we know how tremendous the fans have been, and just the interest in the city in our team is exciting, and we never want that to change. So, of course, there's going to be, you know, people with questions and wanting things to happen, but I look at that as a positive. I wouldn't want to go back to the way it was.
Yeah, the night of the injury to Kaner, I'm leaving after the game. You're walking along the concourse, second level, right outside the box you sit in, and I'm hearing fans going down the stairs, all right, Bowman, get a move done. And you just had your head down working, and I'm like, I wonder if he enjoys that privately.
That's a rough night to enjoy anything.
You know? So.
Yeah, that was tough. Just you know, Kane has such a great season, and you feel bad for him, and that's why we want to keep playing so we can get him back on the ice here.
Best of luck. Congratulations on the deadline. Now let's hope your guys make you look really smart.
Thanks, Stan.
All right, thank you.
All the best. Take care. There he is, Stan Bowman, the general manager of the Chicago Blackhawks.
You want to be relevant. He definitely is that. And I think the Hawks, with the moves that they made, they feel much better about the adversity they encounter with Patrick Kane going down. You can look at this team top to bottom, Cap, and while you were gone, we talked about this. When you look at the West, people ask you, okay, yeah, you know what? The Predators are the Predators. They've had a great year. The Blues, you can't sleep on them. I like the Hawks in a matchup with either team in the playoffs. To me, he's still the Western Conference teams to beat remain the Blackhawks and the Kings. It's a two-horse race. I just think because experience, savvy, know-how, depth, you look at both those teams and it's a pick 'em.
I talked to the guy that ran the sports book at the Aria and at Caesars. I'll tell you what they said about the NHL and what the hottest thing is in their casino in the sports book after this. We'll come right back. All right, welcome back. Cap and Haw rolling on CSN and WGN Plus. So, lots more to talk about. We've got some stuff with Stan Bowman.
Yeah.
Antoine Vermette, who was a big acquisition for them.
Yes.
I'm hearing that they privately are planning on him being part of this team going forward after this season.
I hear that they would really like that, Cap. I think a couple things we need to wait and see before we close this hockey loop here. Number one, how does Vermette play? The expectation is that he's going to be better because the players around him will be better. Mm-hmm. He was not having a great year in Arizona. I don't think anybody should, you know, look
at it. Bad team.
It was a bad team, so there's a lot to be said about that. He was their leading scorer the year that they went to the Western Conference Finals. There's a lot to like there. But I think they want to see, number one, how he fits in, how he plays. Number two, where are you going to be cap-wise? Because his number is going to be pretty high. You know that you're going to dismantle the core. You just better accept that reality right now if you're a Blackhawks fan, and I think most of them do. Patrick Sharp is probably not going to be here next year. He's got a $5.9 million cap hit. There's going to be some other cap casualties, guys who are popular players, and that's redundant when you're talking about the Blackhawks.
It is what it is.
Name an unpopular Blackhawk. You really can't.
No, there is not. Usually, like, you
Corey
walk
Crawford
in a locker room.
At times.
Like, I say to you, hey, what's the Bears locker? You'd be like, yeah, that guy's okay. Yeah, I don't care for dealing with that guy.
Stay away from there.
There isn't one guy on the Hawks where you go, I don't want to deal with him.
It really isn't. I mean, they're naming hot dogs after Brian Bickle at Meatheads. I mean, that's the kind of depth they have in terms of talent and popularity. Do you see that story today just coming through the Chicago Tribune website?
No.
The Bickle Dog will be available through May 3rd and features a foot-long Vienna beef hot dog topped with chili and Fritos served on cheddar cheese New England-style bun.
Ooh, that's a lot.
At Meatheads.
Did you see what they're...
Everybody's got a thing.
Fritos.
Everybody.
Shaw's a fourth-line forward now. He's a fourth-liner.
And he's beloved.
He is beloved on that team.
It's your son's favorite player.
I know. We got a big fat head. I see him every day when I go down in our basement. Hi, Andrew.
Do you see the new dessert they're having at the Diamondbacks games?
What?
It's like a churro. It's like ridiculous. It's got to be 2,000 calories. It's in, wait, Sparky put it in
his notes. Does it have to do with the Blackhawk, or is it a Diamondback player, I hope?
It's a, hold on a minute. Where did you have it there, buddy? It is, here you go, the churro dog they're having at Chase Field. The gastronomic delight will be a churro inside a chocolate glazed donut with ice cream and whipped cream. Checks in at over 1,100 calories and is $8.50.
See, it doesn't sound good to me because that's too many mixtures of sweets kind of flavors. Like, I like all of those individually.
And a free heart exam afterwards.
Holy smokes.
Anyway, so the Blackhawks don't really have anybody that when you say goodbye to them this summer that you're going to miss them, right? And you just don't know who's going to go and who's coming. Vermette would be a guy worth keeping.
Well, you got to think Sharp won't be here. You got to think Oduya won't be here. You got to think Roosevelt won't be here.
Right. Roosevelt might be the biggest source of irritation from Hawks fans these days.
Because they don't like how he skates.
And yet he was rested the other day. Did you see that pass he hit with Jonathan Toews on the first goal? That was nasty. That was great. He had a really good game. There's going to be changes. Vermette would make a lot of sense moving forward because of his age, because of his versatility, because he fits. That's what made it such a good move.
First time they've had a second-line center a really elite second-line center.
We thought that with Brad Richards at the beginning of the season, though.
No, there were people questioning whether he
could
do
it. Yeah,
I know
Eddie O was. Eddie O has always been sort of skeptical about this because of the speed of the West versus where Brad Richards came from, and I think he's being proven to be correct there. But Brad Richards is still salvageable. You want him going into the playoffs. He's centering your third line, Cap.
You would think he's still salvageable.
That's a pretty solid
third line guy.
Center lineup. You're strong down the middle, the way that the Kings were when they won the cup. Let's get to Travis and Rockwood. He's got a thought on Vermette.
All right, Travis, welcome to the show. What's going on there, dog?
Hey, what's going on, Cap and Haw? Hey, I wanted to talk about, you guys sort of answered my question a little bit. What do you guys think it would take to sign Fredette next season as the center? Thanks a lot.
Well,
Fredette? That was Jimmer. He played for the Bulls. This is Vermette.
Vermette would be, well, I don't, he's got to be close to a $5 million a year guy.
It's going
to
be a pricey acquisition.
I'm just guessing off the top of my head here.
But if you are able to play Van Riemsdyk, and you're able to bring two more young players
you've
out of your
depth.
System defensively.
Young depth.
You move Sharp out. You move Roosevelt out. You move Odui out. You're going to have some flexibility to
you
keep
gotta
a guy. You got
to sign
like
Brandon Saad. And Brandon Saad's not going to be cheap.
He's
going to
get paid.
You cannot let him get out of town.
He won't.
And he's going to be expensive, but he's worth every penny. You're going to be, you know, very limited because the Kane and Taves contracts go on the books beginning July 1st. That's worth every penny. Corey Crawford makes a lot of money. Are you trading him?
Be interesting.
See, you don't want to answer that yet. You still got in the back of your mind. Maybe.
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 $6 million a year guy. Let's see how he does in the playoffs.
I think you're right. I think that you're going to have to be open to a lot of creative possibilities and alternatives because, Cap, you look at organizational depth at the goaltender position, and you have it because you held on to Antti Raanta during the trade deadline where a lot of people were talking to Stan
then
Bowman
get moved.
About dealing him.
Right.
So you have Raanta and you have Darling who aren't making a lot of money, much like stay with me with this parallel here. The Seattle Seahawks are able to do a lot of things. Why? They don't pay their quarterback. They never have had to pay Russell
Correct,
Wilson.
But once they have to, other guys will be hitting the street.
If the Hawks don't have to pay a goaltender elite money, that frees them up to supplement the roster in other ways. Not saying that's the way they should go, but I think that's the one area where you might be able to recoup some savings and be more flexible on the payroll.
All right, we'll see what happens. Hawks back in action tomorrow night when the Edmonton Oilers skate into town. And then Sunday night, the New York Rangers.
The Rangers come to town.
I wonder if Boomer comes in.
I don't know
that.
Why I broke into my Raiders voice, but my Rangers.
I wonder if Boomer comes in. He's a Rangers oh, season ticket holder.
You think Boomer's coming to town?
I don't know.
If he's coming to town, you've got to find out, and you've got to offer him Mindy's seat next to you.
Mindy, you're out.
Out.
I'm sitting with Boomer.
Sorry, Mindy.
It's my guy. All right, let's move on from hockey. Oh, let's take one more. Louie on the south side has a question, okay. And then we'll move on.
Hey, Louie.
Louie, what's going on?
Not too much. How's it going, Captain, huh?
What's up?
Good.
Two people in a row got our names right.
Yeah. Well, that's people who watch or listen, you know.
There you go.
Thank you.
I just wanted to get your guys' opinion on if they got rid of Corey Crawford, and I'd say probably go with Raanta as the starter and keep Darling as the backup just to clear up some cap space, to, like you guys said, to see what Corey does after the playoffs.
Well, Louie, it's something you really – I don't think you can answer right now. I think Cap's right. I think you have to wait and see. You want to see what you do. If you win a cup, it'd be very difficult to trade a guy that's won two cups, right? If you flame out in the first round and your first round exit, much easier to justify going into camp next year with Antti Raanta and Scott Darling competing for the job after you trade Corey Crawford to create some flexibility.
Or if you chose one of them, signed a veteran backup type guy
yeah.
to be with them.
You've got Michael Layton at Rockford. I mean, there's a veteran.
Yeah, I'm talking about a better veteran than that. Who you don't know who hits the streets. I'm not talking about a high-priced one. I'm talking about, you know, somebody that comes in and gives support to either Darling or Raanta, and then you move Corey's money out. But
Roberto
if Corey
Luongo?
Yeah. If Corey
or the goalie coach,
much,
maybe?
He makes too much. If Corey wins another cup, he's not going anywhere.
He's not going anywhere except for deeper into Black Hawk immortality.
Correct.
If you win two cups in this town, you are a legend forever. He's already going to be a legend. I mean, you win a cup. If he wins another one, he's untouchable. Dare I say he's untouchable.
You're pretty
right,
close.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Yep,
thanks a lot. Appreciate it, Louie. See you, buddy. 312-235-2525. Cubs and Giants today.
Where are they playing that
Turner
one?
Turner against Vogelsong at Scottsdale, where the Giants.
They play at the Brewers Park.
Yeah, exactly. They're going to play out in Brewer Stadium. That's it. Cubs and Giants.
I see how you set that up.
The White Sox will battle the Dodgers again. Both share Glendale. Kershaw against Danks.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, so baseball is back. Sox were 6-4 winners yesterday. Nice day for Avisiel Garcia. Marcus Semien. First two games for the A's. 6-for-6, 7 RBIs and 2 homers.
Okay, slow down. They still had to make that trade.
Oh, there's no question.
Marcus Semien, leading vote getter for the AL All-Star team on March 5th.
Yeah, exactly. He's your MVP leader. Go put your money on it. 312-235-2525. Coming up on the show, Eric Edholm talks NFL with us at 9:55. That's where David and I are headed next.
And before we get to the NFL, though, next segment, I want to ask you about the Cubs thing so we get this out of our system. Can we do that?
Let's do that
Wrigley
next.
Field. All right.
We'll do that, and then we'll get into football.
All right.
All right, we'll be right back.
Cap and Haw Show from CSN Chicago and streaming on WGN+.
There's the bleacher reconstruction is one. There's the concourse work is the second. And then there's the plaza development. We are on schedule in both the concourse and the plaza. As everyone knows, when we announced at the Cubs convention, we are behind in the bleachers.
That's Crane Kenny. As we talk some Cubs renovations here on Cap and Haw. You're watching Comcast Sportsnet and listening to WGNplus.com.
Yeah, so Crane Kenny yesterday went on the Score, Mullin Hanley in the morning, yep, and addressed some of these issues surrounding the construction delays that specifically in the bleachers, the right field construction of the bleachers won't be completed until they're hoping mid-June. The left field and center field are pushed back to May 11th. Those are the target dates. And in the course of explaining it, he revealed that they spent at least a day going up to Milwaukee and discussing with the Brewers plans for an alternative site for Cubs games, home games.
Correct.
And I just found that very odd, Cap. I just found that odd to consider in-division rival when you have a major league ballpark 8.1 miles to the south. And that was never considered because they did their research. And by that I mean they talked to season ticket holders. They conducted focus groups. They did things that gave them a sense of what their fan base in their minds wanted or would have preferred. And their research told them that they would prefer to drive to Milwaukee, 60 miles from the North Shore, basically, mm-hmm, 90 miles from Wrigley Field, then go to U.S. Cellular Field at 35th and Shields. I can't believe that.
That's true. I've asked a bunch of friends who are season ticket holders.
Let me rephrase that. Right. I do believe that. I have no reason to doubt the validity of their research. I have a hard time understanding it. I have a hard time understanding how that's a better option, Cap. They are the Chicago Cubs. And even though it may be a moot point, but you're now in the midst of a several month long construction project going on while you're playing games. Mm-hmm. Going to Wrigley Field for a baseball game is not going to be any easier than it was in the past. And it always is logistically challenging. Would you agree with that?
I would agree.
Now it's going to be even more logistically challenging. It's a construction project.
Yeah. I mean, just from the city alone, even from here sometimes, if it was a day game, when we get off the air at 12, let's say the first pitch is 105, we wanted to go up as fans. I mean, it could take us an hour legitimately to get from here to Wrigley. If all this construction is going on, if you don't want the parking, by the time you sit down in your seat, it could definitely
be an
hour.
Now, one thing I want to
clear
up. It's
like 3 miles away.
Brooke, we talked the other day, when you were gone, and you may have spoken about this yesterday, but there was something in the paper about how the construction will be going on during the games. And we sort of mocked the idea.
Right,
that, oh, there's
going
to be a jackhammer and a pitching change. And,
there might be.
Hold on. But it won't be going on in the park the way I understand it based on people I spoke to yesterday. I think that when they talked about construction going on, it will be, the old McDonald's lot where the plaza is. It'll be going on around the park. I don't think that they'll be going on in the park. If it is, that's a travesty. I don't think it will, but that's the kind of thing I think you want to avoid at all costs.
And well, I don't think you're not going to not have it, though, during the middle of the day, especially a weekday, right, even if there's a day game. But as long as it's closed off so that you make it look as pretty as you can while all the ugliness is going on behind there, okay.
How can you make this look pretty?
You tarp it off so nobody can see it.
It's interesting somehow. That this you is can't. The route they chose. This is by design.
You do something.
And I guess that's the one thing I alluded to in a column that had other stuff involved, just in terms of where they are and how, you know, this at the end of all this, Cap, let's keep the eye on the big picture. And I want to be fair about this. This is going to be a crown jewel of Major League Baseball. This is going to be a phenomenal structure and a great building and a tremendous facility, and it's going to be all for the better. This was necessary. But getting there is going to be painful. It's started out to be clumsy, and I just don't understand how Milwaukee ever represented a better alternative than U.S. Cellular Field.
Okay, I just did the MapQuest from...
I did that yesterday.
...where I live.
Okay.
To go to Miller Park from my house... Uh-huh. Is 69 minutes, according to current traffic.
Way you drive, that's probably
50.
Conservative.
69 minutes, yeah. 67 miles.
All right, 67 miles is what I want to focus on. 67 miles.
From my house
from Cap to Casa de Cap.
To U.S. Cellular.
Uh-huh.
49 minutes,
right.
33 miles. Now, I've got to drive from my house through a ton of traffic.
Mm-hmm. To get to the south side.
To get to the south side.
To Milwaukee, not so much.
I get on 294.
Yeah, but
I zip
up. You have to go through Milwaukee.
No, you do not.
But you go around Milwaukee.
You hit the little bypass, and you get right off at Miller Park Way, and you're there.
Cap.
It's pretty
easy.
That
sounds, nothing about that sounds easy.
That's very easy.
Here's the thing, though, Cap. One of the things that you have to do when you go from your house to Miller Park, which is, by the way, appealing because
what,
it has
cross the state line?
Yes, you have to cross the state line.
I knew where your mind was
you
going.
You have to cross the state line. And why in the world, if you're the Chicago Cubs, would you consider taking that money and revenue?
Because Cubs fans don't want to go. I'm not saying me. I'm not a season ticket holder for the Cubs. I will go anywhere. I go to U.S. Cellular for games with my family that don't involve the Cubs. I go to Elvis Night. I have a good time. I go to Sox games a bunch.
Listen to you. So, I have a great time at Elvis Night.
I got friends who are season ticket holders.
I know how to get there.
That said to me, if they play at U.S. Cellular, I'm not going.
You mean when you punch in the 35th and Shields on your MapQuest on your car, it doesn't like reject it and say, no,
error,
malfunction,
error,
malfunction.
Error. No, I've got friends that are season ticket holders.
I'm sorry, I don't understand this address.
Correct.
I will not go south of North Avenue.
That's a great Siri voice. Cap, but the thing is that how can you be a partner, a neighbor with the mayor who helped you facilitate all of this? I know it was awkward along the way. And then say, okay, by the way, Mayor Emanuel, we're going to Milwaukee for all our 81 home games. See ya!
First of all, you could not have played out of Wrigley for a year. You couldn't do it.
Why not?
They investigated the possibility.
Really? What are you telling the bar owners and the bleacher rooftop people?
We're making improvements to
they will be out of business. They're mortgaged to
the
hill.
In 1 year?
Gone. Gone.
Well,
some of the rooftop owners.
Would you agree?
Gone.
They discussed it.
They discussed it and they realized they couldn't do it.
Okay.
They would have bankrupted those people.
My point is, why didn't they discuss going south? We'll get back to this.
All right. We got more to do. Eric Edholm will join us as well. John in Algonquin has a point. Ron and Gary and you. 312-235-2525. Be right back.